Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the energy crisis cripples Texas, leaving more than 5 million in the dark.
The deep freeze closes wells across the South, sending oil to a 13-month high.
The bitter cold shows no signs of slowing. Bloomberg Radio team coverage straight ahead.
New York Governor Cuomo says the state should have moved faster about info on nursing home COVID deaths. Plus, House Speaker Pelosi wants an investigation into the Capitol breach. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash. Aaron, sports wins for the Knicks, Nets, and Islanders, and they're playing the quarterfinals at the Australian Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI, with an operating platform designed to support all major asset classes, diverse strategies, and investment vehicles. SEI is redefining wealth management. Learn more at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are higher to start the week. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 20 points, Dow futures up 204, NASDAQ futures up 59. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, and so is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.3%, Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 1.9%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds, yield 1.23%. Yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 43 cents at $59.90 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 20 cents at $18.23.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2155 against the dollar. The yen 105.36. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the deep freeze across much of the United States. The energy crisis that crippled the power system in Texas has left at least 5 million people in the dark. Houston is one of the hardest hit areas. Sylvester Turner is the city's mayor.
We're still out of power to about 1.2 million customers. That's still the case. Hopefully that number will not grow.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says it's power companies that are causing the problem. He also compares the crisis to one of the area's most powerful hurricanes.
This is the winter version of Hurricane Harvey, and we will learn from this also, and we will come up with strategies to make sure there are available sources of power and energy so that things like this do not happen again.
President Biden has declared an emergency that unlocks federal assistance to Texas.
Grid managers can't say exactly when the blackouts will end. Bloomberg's Rachel Adams Heard begins our team coverage with the very latest from Houston.
We knew that this was going to be a major test of our grid, and we're used to a ton of electricity demand in the summer. Obviously, it gets very hot here, but we're not quite used to having this happen in the winter, especially when the entire state of Texas is in a winter storm warning. And then compounding that is a crunch on the supply side. The infrastructure that we have is just not equipped to deal with these temperatures. So you're seeing oil and gas production, about a million barrels a day taken off the market. Wind turbines are frozen. This is just not a good situation here in Texas.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. And as the temperatures fall, we see oil rise. In fact, Brent crude is trading near a 13-month high. We continue our team coverage with more from Bloomberg Executive Editor for Commodities, Will Kennedy.
The big worry is that if they are to operate wells at temperatures well below zero and they end up freezing up and not producing any oil, and also it's very hard to move trucks around the region at these temperatures, so it's hard to, you know, supply the wells and in some cases get the oil out of the wells. Some estimates say that in the short term it could perhaps hit several hundred thousand barrels of production, which is fairly significant.
And checking prices now, Brent's little change down 4 cents to $63.26 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.7% or 43 cents, $59.90.
Temperatures have been dramatic in places that really aren't used to a deep freeze. For the latest, we turn to Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Rob.
Karen, the piece of the polar vortex that was producing sub-zero temperatures from Montana to the Dakotas and Minnesota last week spent the weekend sinking southward through the central United States. It's brought bitter cold now to the entire central United States. Temperatures are below zero this morning around Amarillo, Texas, to near zero in the Dallas area, to around 20 in Houston and 25 in the Brownsville area. This cold air mass will continue is slowly modified, but it's going to keep the central United States very chilly this week. In addition, we have a storm track that's causing snow, sleet, and freezing rain from upstate New York through New England this morning. Another storm is going to develop, producing snow, sleet, and freezing rain northward into the northeastern United States. That storm will be impacting areas from Tuesday night through Thursday. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Rob. The crisis isn't just crippling Texas and the Great Plains. Now the extreme cold is threatening problems in the West. Ed Baxter has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Major concern for Texas, of course, but also that it could threaten blackouts elsewhere. For example, California's Southern California Gas Utility says it disrupts supplies of the heating and power plant fuel supply. Southern California Gas is urging its customers to keep abreast of upcoming potential strains on systems and potential effects on gas service to the operations. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. While much of the country works to recover from the deep freeze, we're seeing encouraging data on the battle against the pandemic. The U.S. just recorded the lowest daily number of cases since October 25th, with a little more than 65,000 infections reported Sunday. More than 54 million vaccine doses have been administered across the country, and plans are being laid for pharmacies to start giving shots. Dr. John Brownstein is an epidemiologist and researcher at Boston Children's Hospital.
We know pharmacies are a big point of healthcare delivery in this country. So the ability to have access to pharmacies, pharmacies already do the delivery of flu shots and a range of other vaccines, so they know how to do this.
So far, more than 176 million shots have been given worldwide. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Turning to financial markets now, futures are rising as we begin a holiday-shortened trading week. In fact, global stocks are in the midst of their longest run of gains since 2003. The MSCI World Index has risen for 12 straight sessions and another record for Bitcoin, the world's largest cryptocurrencies, closing in on the $50,000 level. Bitcoin's risen fivefold over the past year, and checking it right now, Bitcoin's at $49,190.
And in Europe, shares of Glencore up almost 3%. The world's largest commodities trader is reinstating its dividend after posting record trading profits. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has broken his silence on the accusations that his administration hid the number of nursing home deaths in the state that resulted from the coronavirus outbreak last year. Cuomo said the void we created allowed disinformation, and that created more anxieties for the families of loved ones.
When you don't correct disinformation, you allow it to continue.
Cuomo insisted his administration was complying with the Department of Justice's request. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's call for an independent commission to investigate last month's Capitol insurrection has some bipartisan support. Pelosi said the commission would be modeled on the panel that probed the origins of the September 11th terrorist attack. Pennsylvania's Republican Party may meet to discuss censuring U.S. Senator Pat Toomey over his vote to convict Donald Trump during the former president's second impeachment trial. Toomey is one of seven Republicans who voted to convict Trump of incitement of insurrection. Meanwhile, Democratic House impeachment manager Eric Swalwell told ABC he believes the trial had to go forward to hold Trump accountable for the attack on the Capitol, even if there were not enough Republican votes to find him guilty.
We could have had a signed confession from the president. It wasn't going to change their minds. And so we feel very good about the case that we made.
Other Republicans who voted to convict Trump are facing backlash from their state party leaders as well. There are reports that an image of George Floyd mocking his death last year is being circulated among members of the Los Angeles Police Department as a Valentine. While the LAPD has not confirmed seeing the image in the workplace setting, they have announced a zero-tolerance policy for anyone caught taking part. Floyd family attorney spokesman Najee Ali says the family is absolutely heartbroken. Their pain has been belittled.
We're not here to condemn or attack the LAPD. We simply want to hold them accountable. And to their credit, Captain Jay Mystic is someone who we salute for being a whistleblower.
An LAPD employee reported an image with Floyd's face and the caption, "You take my breath away." Floyd died last May while a Minneapolis police officer restrained him as he pleaded he could not breathe. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg QuickTech, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Now time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. The Knicks clearly much improved. There's a feeling that all that's keeping them from taking the next step forward is a star player, or do they already have that star? Julius Randle has been superb all year, and last night he put on a show at the Garden. 44 points, most by a Knick in 3 years. Randle shot 14 of 22, made 7 of 13 threes, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Knicks saw a 14-point lead get cut to 1, but they beat Atlanta 123 to 112 for their third win in a row. Nets won their third straight. They had a 40-point game themselves from Kyrie Irving. He made 7 of 9 threes. Brooklyn won in Sacramento, 136-125. James Harden scored 29, had 14 assists. The Nets won without the injured Kevin Durant. Utah beat Philadelphia's Jordan Clarkson of the Jazz scored 40 in only 29 minutes. Ben Simmons scored 42 in the loss. The Jazz have won 19 of their last 20 games. Islanders beat Buffalo 3-1. The Devils, who once had as many as 19 players on the COVID list, return tonight at the Garden against the Rangers. It'll be the Devils' first game since January. Yankees have signed veteran lefty reliever Justin Wilson. He was with the Mets the last two seasons. An old-timer and a newcomer with quarterfinal wins at the Australian Open. 39-year-old Serena Williams into the semis. 6-3, 6-3 over the two-seed Simona Halep. Serena will now play Naomi Osaka. And on the men's side, 27-year-old Russian Aslan Karatsev, who had never played in a major before, upset Grigor Dimitrov. Karatsev is a qualifier, ranked 114th in the world. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, parties may be part of NBA All-Star Weekend next month, but thanks to COVID, they won't include NBA All-Stars. The players are going to largely have to stay in their hotels when they're not at the arena. All players and coaches, whether they're part of All-Star events or not, will have to continue getting tested every day for COVID-19. Futures moving higher this morning. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are in the midst of the longest run of gains since 2003 as optimism over the economic recovery sweeps across markets. Brent oil is holding near a 13-month high after freezing temperatures crippled the Texas power system and disrupted crude production. And Bitcoin reached another record, coming even closer to $50,000. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 194, NASDAQ futures up 57. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury down 11 32nds, yield 1.24%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 35 cents at $59.82 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 80 cents at $18.24 an ounce. The euro 1.2155 against the dollar, British pound 1.3928, and the yen 105.32. And checking Bitcoin, it's at $49,137. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Officials say a frigid blast of winter weather across the U.S. is likely to blame for the deaths of two people in Texas. More than 4 million people across Texas are without power after a massive storm system dropped temperatures into single digits as far south as San Antonio. Law enforcement reported two men were found dead along Houston area roadways. Another Republican senator is being punished by his party for siding with Democrats during the Trump impeachment trial. The North Carolina Republican Party has voted unanimously to censure Richard Burr. He was one of seven Republican senators to say Trump was guilty of inciting the Capitol riot. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, Wizards, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And to get more now on how this deep freeze across much of the middle part of this country is affecting the energy markets, we're very pleased to be joined this morning by Stephen Schork, president of the Schork Group. Good morning, Stephen. As we look at West Texas Intermediate crude around the $60 level, just shy of 60 at this point, how long do you see this disruption in the U.S. oil market lasting?
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Nathan. And certainly we're having an impact. It's interesting that WTI crude oil is getting a boost on this news. You have to figure that with the power down and with refinery operations disrupted, crude oil cannot be processed. So crude oil is essentially, demand therefore, is taking a hit. Yet, of course, we have the byproduct of crude oil, and that is heating oil and so forth. So we are getting that support. Weather forecasts are still brutal. For instance, ERCOT forecast for today in about 2 hours, Nathan, we could be looking at 75,000 megawatts of demand on the grid. ERCOT has never seen that. That will smash a record, an hourly record that we saw a couple of years ago during August. So right now, power demand in Texas in the middle of February is greater than what we've seen in Texas at the hottest part of the year. And then the hour after that, Nathan, we're likely to see 74,800 megawatts of demand. That would be the second highest. So clearly, we're looking at some historic demand in the month of February in Texas. And as long as that cold lingers, we're going to see that increase in demand and therefore that increase in price.
So we're looking at uncharted territory, particularly
Absolutely.
At this time of year. Can you put this into some kind of further context for us? I mean, what kind of precedent is there for this kind of disruption at this time of year?
Never seen it. Literally, the charts, or when we look at the pricing of the charts, typically it's a sine wave. So when you look at, say, the demand, Nathan, you've got your peak demand in July, August, and then when you get into the winter months, the fall and the winter months, then you hit your troughs, and then it rallies again in the spring when it starts to get hot. But now when we look at it, we're looking at, for instance, on the week on February 6th, Nathan, average demand was 39,000 megawatts. Average demand for this week is forecast to come in at 58,000 megawatts. We've never seen anything like that at all. Typically, you're looking at a max of maybe 48,000 megawatts of demand at this time of the year. So we are clearly a solid 10,000 megawatts or a quarter above what we've ever seen. And as a result, Nathan, we've seen a significant increase in the hourly price of power, of a 9,000% increase that we saw in the hourly markets yesterday.
Are we going to need to see a rebalance of oil flows globally to deal with this?
Well, typically, if this had occurred in the New York market area or anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic market area, Nathan, absolutely. 70 to 75% of your heating demand is for heating oil. Is located in this market area, Texas, and this is the problem. A significant amount of your heating demand is powered by natural gas and electricity. So this will likely not have an impact on oil flows per se, but certainly, Nathan, it will have an impact on natural gas. Keep in mind that the United States is a burgeoning power in the exporting of LNG, liquefied natural gas, and clearly with these power outages, it's not only affecting refinery operations, but it's affecting LNG export facilities. So it will impact the global flow of LNG over the next week, 2 weeks, and that will certainly throw those markets off kilter, or already has, and she'll continue next week, 2 weeks, to throw those markets off kilter.
Yeah, we're certainly seeing that in the price of natural gas futures as well this morning, a big spike there. In our last 30 seconds here, Stephen, do you see any spillover into gasoline prices because of all this?
Right now, we're kind of at that DY over DX moment, Nathan. That is to say, we're in that transition period from winter-grade gasoline to spring and then summer-grade gasoline. So, yeah, in the immediate term, we're certainly going to see. Typically, what you see, this is like a hurricane. When refineries go down, the refineries have supply obligations, so they go to the futures market to secure their supply to make their deliveries, and we've already seen that impact. So, yes, over the next week, 2 weeks, we will see a slight uptick in gasoline.
4 degrees in Dallas right now. Stephen Schork, president of the Schork Group, thank you for this. Good, as always, to get your insights and taking a look at oil prices right now. West Texas Intermediate up about 0.5%, $59.76 a barrel. Brent crude is dropping just a bit at $63.09. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at give2.nyc.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston, Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960 to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with the latest on the deep freeze across much of the country. The energy crisis that crippled the power system in Texas has left at least 5 million people in the dark. Sylvester Turner is the mayor of Houston.
Just in Houston, in the Houston region alone, 1.2 million customers without power for an extended period of time.
The crisis has sent oil to a 13-month high. Bloomberg Energy reporter Dan Murtaugh is following this developing story.
The weather's having a double-barreled impact because it's cutting off supply at the same time it's raising demand. These sub-zero temperatures are hitting places in West Texas that are very, very not used to this. And that's freezing up pipeline valves, making them inoperable, forcing people to shut off pipeline, and cutting off almost 10% of the U.S. natural gas supply.
And checking oil prices now, NYMEX crude is up 0.5% or 27 cents to $59.74 a barrel. Brent is down 0.4% at $63.06.
Some encouraging news on the battle against the pandemic this morning. The U.S. has recorded the lowest daily number of cases since October 25th. At the same time, new strains of the virus continue to spread. Dr. Ashish Jha is dean of Brown University School of Public Health.
We don't know a lot about them yet. It's not a surprise to see new variants coming out of the United States, given how much infection we've had. I expect that these variants will be susceptible to vaccines, but we've got to test that out and make sure that that's correct.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 45 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Turning to financial markets now, futures are rising as we begin a holiday-shortened trading week. In fact, global stocks are in the midst of their longest run of gains since 2003. The MSCI World Index has risen for 12 straight sessions. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 stock average extended its advance past the 30,000 level.
And another record for Bitcoin, the world's largest cryptocurrency, is rising, closing in on the $50,000 level. Bitcoin has risen fivefold over the past year. Still, there are warnings that investors could be left with big losses because cryptocurrencies remain highly speculative. S&P futures are higher this morning, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 196, NASDAQ futures up 59. 10-year Treasury down 10/30 seconds, yield 1.24%. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state did not cover up nursing home deaths, but should have moved faster to release some information sought by lawmakers, the public, and the press. Cuomo is under fire for his management of the coronavirus deaths.
The New York State DOH has always fully and publicly reported all COVID deaths in nursing homes and hospitals. They have always been fully reported.
The governor said most of the nursing homes already had COVID-19 cases caused by staff by the time patients return. New York City subways will begin to open for longer hours next Monday. Patrick Foy, chief executive officer of the MTA, says the reopening will begin with a shorter overnight shutdown from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. instead of 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. MTA officials also announced the addition of officers in the wake of a jump of subway violence. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says that Congress will establish an independent September 11th-style commission to look into the deadly insurrection that took place at the U.S. Capitol. In a letter to Democratic colleagues, Pelosi said the House will also put forth supplemental spending to boost security at the Capitol. California Congressman Eric Swalwell, one of the House impeachment managers, in last week's Senate trial told ABC he hopes the commission findings will safeguard the government against future threats.
We have to make sure that never again could, you know, domestic terrorism groups attack our institutions of government. And that's going to mean, you know, scrubbing out and stripping down to the studs any white nationalist groups in our country.
The U.S. Capitol Police Union passed a vote of no confidence in its acting chief and senior leadership. 92% of the police union said it no longer has confidence in its managers to make sure a Capitol breach doesn't happen again. Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, has arrived in New Orleans, but officials aren't hoping for big crowds during the coronavirus pandemic. All parades are canceled. Bars throughout the city have been closed since Friday. Another possible factor in crowd control, frigid temperatures in the weather forecast. At Cape Canaveral in Florida.
Ignition and liftoff.
SpaceX launched a Falcon 9 rocket late last night. It's carrying the latest batch of Starlink satellites. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street now, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Julius Randle was always a good NBA player. This year, he's been a great one. All-star caliber, averaging 23 points a game, 11 rebounds, 5.5 assists. He's making 41% of his three-point shots. And last night at the Garden, Randle poured in 44 points. The Knicks beat Atlanta 123-112. Randle had 17 in the first quarter. When he shot 7 of 8, his coach, Tom Thibodeau.
All-around play that, you know, it's setting the tone for the team. So when you have your veterans doing those types of things, it bodes well for the team. The young guys see it. They come in. They work. Julius is a guy that gets there early. He stays late. He's a great teammate.
Knicks' three-game win streak comes after losing 7 of 10. The Nets, since the three-game losing streak, have won their last three. Brooklyn 2-0 on the road trip. 136-125 at Sacramento. They were without the injured Kevin Durant, but Kyrie Irving scored 40. James Harden had 29 with 14 assists. Islanders won 3-1 at Buffalo. Devils and Rangers meet tonight at the Gardens. The Devils' first game since January. 7 postponements due to 19 players being on the COVID list. Justin Wilson is a Yankee once again. Veteran lefty reliever was with them back in 2015. He pitched for the Mets the last two seasons. Serena Williams still chasing her 24th Grand Slam title, which would tie the all-time record. She hasn't won one in 4 years. 4 times she's lost in the finals, but Serena at age 39 into the Australian Open semifinals. Great sets over Simona Halep. She'll now face Naomi Osaka. Aslan Karatsov, a surprise semifinalist on the men's side. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City's restaurant industry finally has something to cheer about after its first weekend of indoor dining this year. The number of seated diners at restaurants on Valentine's Day was down about 56% from the corresponding Sunday a year ago, but that was the smallest decline since pandemic-induced lockdowns began, according to OpenTable. While more people are working from home, and New Jersey lawmakers are wondering if tax policies should change. They want to study whether this shift could have other implications for the state economy. Legislation approved by a key Senate committee calls for a special commission to study the issue. New Haven Mayor Justin Elker says Governor Ned Lamont's latest budget proposal fails to meet the needs of his city. New Haven faces a $66 million budget deficit. Elicker says the current proposal would force the city into levying higher taxes on lower-income citizens. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WHAM 1180 in Rochester, New York, I'm talking about Constellation Brands, said to be facing a lawsuit from Anheuser-Busch InBev over use of the Corona name.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. About 4 million homes and businesses are without power across Texas with the severe cold.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Hollywood's struggles for fans in China's growing film market.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on predictions the Chancellor will have to raise taxes by £60 billion to balance the books.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Now, Wall Street gets back to work after a long holiday weekend with plenty of earnings reports to digest. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Companies in the S&P 500 index are in position for a 3.6% increase in fourth quarter profit, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. But expectations are high. Lori Calvasina is head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets.
But about half of companies that have posted results so far in this reporting season have gone down 1% or more in the one-day trading session after the results. Now, that stat's gotten a little bit better as we've gone through reporting season, but I think it's a testament to how high expectations were coming into this reporting season.
This week we'll be hearing from Walmart, Analog Devices, and Deere, along with financial firms such as Barclays, Credit Suisse, and AIG. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Watching futures on the rise as we head into the holiday shortened trading week. S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures up 196. NASDAQ futures on the rise by almost 62 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And global stocks are in the midst of the longest running of gains since 2003 as optimism over the economic recovery sweeps across markets. Brent oil is holding near a 13-month high after freezing temperatures crippled the Texas power system and disrupted crude production. And Bitcoin reached another record, coming ever closer to $50,000. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 20 points. Dow futures up 204, NASDAQ futures up 65, the DAX in Germany little change, 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.24%, and the yield on the 2-year is at 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 33 cents at $59.80 a barrel. Brent is lower, but it's still above $63 a barrel at $63.15. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.80 at $18.25 an ounce. The euro 1.2166 against the dollar. British pound 1.3937 and the yen 105.28. Checking Bitcoin, it is currently at $48,924. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
A chilling Arctic blast is covering much of the U.S., bringing snow as far south as the Gulf Coast and leaving millions without power. Snow now covering 70% of the country. Officials say a frigid blast of winter weather is likely to blame for the deaths of two people in Texas. More than 4 million people across Texas are without power. Officials say a tornado overnight in the southeast North Carolina county of Brunswick has left at least 3 people dead and 10 others injured. Some residents are trapped or missing as the storm damaged homes. Brunswick County Emergency Management says thousands of people lost electricity. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, Wizards, and Warriors all won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And even as much of the country is in the midst of this deep freeze, we are seeing some encouraging signs when it comes to the pandemic. And for the latest on that, we're joined now by Dr. Gigi Granval, the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Great, as always, to speak with you, doctor. And we're seeing those signs, certainly, in terms of the case counts and hospitalizations dropping dramatically in recent weeks. Are we over the hump?
No, not. I wish we were, but not quite yet. We need to still keep doing whatever we're doing that's keeping these cases going down. Keep masking up and staying within your household and get the vaccine as soon as you can.
Are you concerned at all that this cold snap that we're seeing from the Dakotas all the way down to Texas and parts in between is going to disrupt the vaccine distribution process?
It looks like there have been a few small disruptions. I'm hopeful that they can, you know, these are anticipated events and that they can work around it. But, yeah, it does make it harder for people to get out and get vaccinated for sure.
What about the signs that we're seeing now that it does look as though a lot of people are sticking to those mitigation efforts? What is it going to take for us to get to the point where we feel like the pandemic isn't spreading at the out of control rate that we've seen in so many recent months?
Right. Well, I mean, right now things look as good as they have been at any point during the pandemic. The cases are falling. All the trends are going in the right direction. The problem is we're worried about some of these more transmissible variants coming out and getting more predominant. So those might cause for, you know, the cases to start coming up again. And so we need to do whatever we can to get more people vaccinated to prevent that from happening.
Are you seeing signs that those faster spreading variants are outpacing the vaccination effort? We have seen an uptick in the number of daily vaccinations getting into people's arms. That's got to help, right?
Absolutely. And we have not seen them interfere with the vaccine efforts yet. It's just a matter of trying to get more people, get their immune systems ready so that we don't have that situation. It is a race because these variants do appear from other countries to be more transmissible. They're not magic. You know, all the mitigation measures that we have put into place already, those will work against these variants. I don't want to alarm people, but from a system-wide level, we need to do what we can to get people immune so that the variants don't take hold.
I want to get your reaction to some of the latest data we've seen on vaccine efficacy, particularly this early data out of Israel showing a 94% drop in symptomatic cases for people who have gotten the vaccine. How should we put that in context? What does that mean?
Yeah, so when people talk about 94% efficacy, they think, oh, well, that means the 6% of people got it, and that's not good. Well, that's the wrong way to think about efficacy. You need to think about it, about your chances of getting sick being that much reduced. So if you are next to somebody and you both get exposed and you're vaccinated, your risk of getting COVID are 94% reduced compared to your friend. And that's the way you should be thinking about it, rather than there being this gap where somebody's going to draw the short straw, because that's not the way the statistics work.
All right. Thank you, as always, for being with us, Dr. Gigi Granval of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
ongoing pandemic means this year's tax filing season will be unique in many ways. Not only is it starting later than usual, but more people may decide to file their taxes electronically. State attorneys general have increasingly pursued enforcement actions against businesses for labor violations. The COVID-19 pandemic has spurred an acceleration of those efforts. And the Biden administration is taking steps to undo moves from the Trump administration to force Medicaid beneficiaries to work as a condition of coverage.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching. Voting technology company Smartmatic seeking $2.7 billion in a defamation lawsuit against Fox News, its commentators Lou Dobbs, Jeanine Pirro, and Maria Bartiromo, plus two of Donald Trump's lawyers. Smartmatic says Fox harmed its reputation with reports suggesting the company helped to rig the 2020 election. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Jonathan Peters, media law professor at the University of Georgia.
Jonathan, Fox News is claiming it was protected by the First Amendment, basically that it had a right to report the details of a sitting president's claims of election fraud.
What Fox News seems to be asserting in its motion to dismiss would be some use of the so-called neutral reportage privilege. So I'll unpack that with you a little bit here. The Supreme Court has set out a high level of protection for statements of opinion, and the court once said that there is no such thing as a false idea. But importantly, this protection is not unlimited, and it has not created, as the court has said a couple of times, a practical or theoretical wholesale defamation exemption for anything that might be labeled opinion. And I think the trick in this case will be that opinions and facts are not always easily distinguishable. Context is going to be critical. And then the invocation of the neutral reportage privilege. So what Fox is saying here is that this privilege can protect a news organization in limited circumstances from liability for republishing another's defamatory comments. So I think in general, there's sensible policy reasons that you might recognize a neutral reportage privilege, but it's been widely rejected around the country, and generally it has not been applied in New York state courts, which is where the Smartmatic litigation is pending.
Should Smartmatic be considered a public figure, meaning it has a higher burden to meet?
That is going to be key. And what we're really unpacking here is the fault element of libel. So as you pointed out, a libel plaintiff has to prove that the defendant is at fault in some way in publishing the defamation at issue. And this can determine the entire case because the degree that must be established depends on precisely who is doing the suing. And public officials and public figures have the heavy burden of showing that the defamation was published with knowledge that it was false or in reckless disregard of its truthfulness. So I think it's entirely possible that Smartmatic would be deemed a public figure.
What is the possibility here of a settlement?
I would say overwhelmingly likely. For one, virtually no libel cases go from cradle to grave to a full-blown jury verdict. It of course, does happen, but it's very rare. Most of these cases settle out. I would imagine that we will read in some time about a confidential settlement agreement that we may not learn much about. So I think it's overwhelmingly likely that this would be settled out.
And that's Jonathan Peters of the University of Georgia speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up almost 20 points. Dow futures up 197. NASDAQ futures up 64. 10-year Treasury down 10/32, yield 1.24%, and the yield on the two-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 33 cents at $59.80 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up almost 0.1%, up $1.30. Our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.